Well, thank you. It's 5 minutes after 12 o'clock. I'm Pat Daly, and it's a treat to have you listening today. Beautiful day outside, 48 degrees. We're only supposed to get up to, like, the low 40s today, but the sun is out, the birds are chirping, and I got two great guys in the studio, so God is good. What can I say?
Amen.
I got Matt McAuliffe here and Chris White, and it's great to see you guys again. Another program on church history.
And Pat, it's so good that you made room and scooted enough boxes aside for us to sit in here with you today.
Yeah, well, we had this place pretty much stacked up, and we had to get them out of here for another reason, but now they're filling up again. So, yeah, we got a big project going on here, Samaritan's Purse. If you want to bring your little shoeboxes by, have them here by tomorrow at 3, okay? And then we'll send them out of here, and then they'll be on their way to kids all over the world, you know, whether there's just poverty or hardship or natural disaster or war or something. It's going to bless them, because Jesus loves to bless people, loves to love them.
Amen.
And there's going to be a gospel tract in their language in the box. And so thanks for doing that. So
right on.
Anyway, you know what? If Samaritan's Purse were around 1,800 years ago, we'd know where to send them, wouldn't we?
That's right.
But they hadn't really developed cardboard back then, so...
No.
And I don't even think they actually gave presents at Christmas time either, now that we think about it. So probably they would have had some other way of means of ministering.
But I'm sure that there was encouragement going on. And you
That's
guys
right.
are going to talk today about the persecuted church.
The persecuted church. You know, what made us bring up the topic, of course, is that November is... intended to be a focus on the persecuted church, the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, and a lot of initiatives going on about that. And we thought this would be a good time to talk about even the historic dimensions of the persecution of Christians throughout our history. You know, one of the things that is interesting about this is the fact that we're talking about some pretty astronomical numbers as far as the past. And we're talking about the first few centuries of Christianity, we're talking millions of Christians actually were martyred and died for their faith. And this continues.
Really?
This even continues to this very day.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the most well-known when we talk about persecution, usually we think in our minds back into the early days of the church, really between the years 52 and 312 A.D. is that time of the classic persecution of the Christians. And this is the time period that led Tertullian to write that famous, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." And that was because, despite the viciousness of persecution, the steadfast faith of the church led many to belief in Christ. And I just want to say a few things about this historic time of persecution to make it clear in people's minds. We're talking about the bad old days. We're talking about people being fed to the lions, facing gladiators, being boiled in oil, all that kind of stuff. We need to remember that this was something that was not a continuous thing for several centuries. It was something that was an on-again, off-again thing. Some Roman emperors were more hostile than others. Others actually were quite favorable towards Christians. And so this had kind of an oscillating effect depending on who was in office and at the helm of the empire. And that was the other thing. It was certainly not empire-wide. There would be pockets. As a matter of fact, some parts of the Roman Empire, some provinces, had so many Christians in them that the emperor, the governor of the Roman province, he would never be able to carry out a persecution because it affected most of his citizens. And so a lot of times there was a turning of a blind eye or some mild things. And then it was not always deadly. A lot of times persecution under the Romans was a confiscation of a building, or maybe a martyring of a pastor or bishop, but it wasn't like the whole church was hauled in there. They were doing things to make people an example. So there was a lot of that kind of thing. So don't think of this as a continuous bloodbath for three centuries when we talk about it.
Although, in all fairness, if you were a Christian in the first three centuries of the church's history, at some point in your lifetime, you were going to run into serious persecution. Either that, or you were going to know someone intimately who had or would run into serious mm-hmm. persecution. And today, gosh, you know, we've really been insulated by that, Pat. Things are kind of fat and sassy here.
Especially in the West.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. Everybody's got, you know, the fish on their business card and stuff like that. And that's okay, but it's a very very pleasant atmosphere despite the social pressure against Christians. There's not much of a price to be paid here, and that wasn't the case back then. Boy, as Christopher alluded, it would just blow hot and cold, depending on where you were. But the martyrs, then the tradition of the martyrs, which is really where the veneration of the saints came from, the tradition of the martyrs, boy, it got off to a rollicking start that first few centuries. And there, you know, at some points it actually became something that people would seek out. I mean, Christians would actually seek martyrdom as the truest expression of their witness and their faithfulness to Christ. One of the great Christian writers of the early church, Origen, was one of our favorite stories. As a young man, he was ready to be martyred, by golly, and he was headed out the door, and his mom stopped him, knocked him down, dragged his clothes off, hit him, and he was naked, so he couldn't go out in the street and get
couldn't
martyred.
Leave. And that was something too that the church actually had to start making rules on, because people, they said, no. When you purposefully run out and try to get yourself martyred, that's called suicide. Mm-hmm. And so the church actually had to make rules and regulations to prevent that sort of thing.
And there are so many stories. I mean, we can't even really go there. I mean, the best thing you can do is get Fox's Book of Martyrs.
Okay.
I mean, every Christian should read that. I mean, that
at least once.
Yeah. I mean, it's worth going through. The stories of Perpetua and Polycarp and there's millions of them, and they're figures that you should know about. But pretty much this all drew to a close at the end when Constantine became emperor as a Christian, and within a few years was pretty much able to eliminate persecution. Although even after he came to power, gosh, one of my favorite stories is the 40 Roman legionnaires who were Christians. Licinius was their commander in Armenia, in the northeast corner of Turkey, and he really hated Christians. And when he transferred over and learned that he had these 40 legionnaires who were Christians, he set them out naked in the middle of a frozen lake, and they spent 2 days out there. And he said, "All you have to do to come in and warm yourselves by the fire is recant and curse Christ." And they stayed out there. One guy finally broke down and came back to the fire, and one of the guards who was keeping them out on the lake was so impressed that he took the guy's place. And he doffed his uniform, went out and sat with the Christians, said, "No, I'm going to be with you guys." They died out there. I mean, there are so many stories that we just don't have the time. All we can do is describe kind of what happened. You know, after that kind of fervor, that kind of martyrdom tended to draw to a halt in the 3rd or 4th century when Christianity became official. And gosh, that takes us into the medieval church. And our missionaries, Christian missionaries, were still being martyred. I mean, they were off talking to the Saxons and the Goths, and you know, then there's the Irish monks getting slaughtered and wiped out by the Vikings. It's Christian blood flows pretty freely throughout the story.
And not to forget, even this goes all the way back to the time of the apostles, where almost all the apostles, as they went out and spread out, and there's a tradition that all of them spread out to quite a wide variety of,
India,
of places,
Africa,
on earth,
Britain, yeah.
And almost all of them met their death in martyrdom.
John's the only guy.
We believe the only tradition is that John did not die, but all of them died martyrs' deaths, generally on the mission field or in a place other than Israel.
I was speaking with Michael Card last Tuesday, and he said that he was probably given a foretaste of what his end would be when there are two kind of euphemisms for being crucified. One is stretched out, and the other one is lifted up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Jesus said he was going to be stretched out.
And, I'll be darned.
So, you know.
Well, it's interesting. We've gone through some weird periods in you know, the history of the body of Christ. But as I say, martyrdom has never been very far away, even when we do it to ourselves, as happened in the Reformation.
Yes.
But gosh, when Islam exploded in the 7th century and came sweeping across North Africa, nobody really talks about that too much, the peaceful expansion of Islam.
That came across on the back of the
burning
cavalry.
Burning and raping across North Africa and through Europe, yes. And up into Spain.
Yeah, and the extortion, that little part was kind of left out. But
peace-loving folks, those. Well, like I say, the medieval church experienced its fair share of martyrdom, and this carries right through. Gosh, there's even a period of 500 years, 600 years, starting with the Crusades, where we really, as a church, we had growing power. Really, we were strong enough to not be persecuted too much, so we ended up persecuting ourselves. You know, in the Reformation and everything, and Protestants versus Catholics, and
so it's Christians with power and a lot of time on their hands. It sort of leads to some of this stuff.
I have to admit, we've never done too well.
We went from being the persecuted to kind of like almost being the persecutors during that particular... The Inquisition, of course, is always a favorite. Mm-hmm. And then so many of the were very much politically, not spiritually oriented. And
but it's really interesting because the period of time that the church really kind of indulged in persecution on its own is fairly limited to, say, about 1100 to about 1700. It's about a 500 or 600 year period, and who knows, maybe that's just a lesson we needed to learn as a body of believers. And since then, the Protestantism tended to really reduce the amount of that. Even the Catholic Church kind of backed off some of its policies after that period of time. The Church's treatment of Jews improved hugely after the Reformation. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, like our last program, when we talked about how many Christians were martyred under the Nazis for hiding and helping Jews to escape, a couple million Jews, I think, were helped to get out from under Hitler's terror.
And that kind of moves us really into the modern era of persecution, because this is a continuous thing that has happened on again, off again, as we've been trying to say throughout the history, up until the 19th century. From century 1 to century 19, we had roughly about 14 million martyrs. When you hit the 20th century, we're talking, this is actually, if you will, the century of the greatest persecution. And a conservative number that Matthew and I were discussing prior to the program, a conservative number would be 50 million in the 20th century. 50. Now, there's
estimates go as high as 100 million. Now, break this down, guys. I mean, if you break this down, basically you're talking about 2,000 to 3,000 Christians a day being slaughtered since the year 1900. Well, that's what we've got, 2 million dead Armenian Christians right off the bat.
Turkey,
that was one of the first things. Oh, there's 500,000 dead in Uganda. Gosh, China has killed, and Stalin was responsible for at least 30 million Christians. So, you know, this century, even the Freedom House, which is not exactly a Christian organization, they say, the quote that they give is, Christians are, in fact, the most persecuted religious group in the world today with the greatest number of victims. This continues today. What are some of the hideous spots?
Like Sudan? Some of the most hideous spots. Of course, Sudan's been getting a lot of press over the past few years. More and more people have become more aware. There's been a civil war that is really basically a religious war there, where there is a fight whether the country is going to become an Islamic country or whether it's going to remain a Christian country, and Christians have been tortured and beaten and kidnapped there for many years. But also, probably as far as hot spots, the sheer numbers of Christians in China and the persecution there. Of course, China has a communist oligarchy there and has always perceived the Christian church as a threat, because those people are not going to be making the state the Lord of their lives. And so they're seen as a subversive element, and so they have been under persecution. A lot of times this ends up in arrests and tortures and confiscations and kidnappings and quite a little bit of intrigue. And then, of course, I think of the Middle East right now, all the countries of the Middle East. It's incredible. Of course, Saudi Arabia is such a strict country that even guest workers in that country, people that they have brought in from other lands that are ostensibly Christian, Christians there have to actually meet in hiding. They're not even permitted to have religious services and ceremonies. And when those are found out about, those are immediately squelched. People are thrown in jail.
I think even our own troops have to be like in a Quonset hut in the middle of the U.S. military base.
Got to be hiding out there. And then even some of the more enlightened Middle Eastern nations, what we would call the more enlightened ones, such as Egypt,
Kuwait
and Jordan, places where the church has historically been there a long time and there's been coexistence, there's been very much continued removal of human rights and civil rights with the Christian population, even though the Christian populations are quite significant. Interestingly, of all places, Iraq, under Saddam Hussein, was quite, there was an actual coexistence with the church there, that Saddam Hussein, it was in his interest to maintain peace between all the groups of people in his country.
He used the Christians to balance out some of the
other sects. And so he actually gave a bit of latitude to Christians. Now, it was not Shangri-La by any stretch of the imagination, but it was very true. Iran has always been brutal towards Christian. Turkey all these places. So it's quite amazing.
You know, we need to say, too, Pat, Chris and I, as we were talking and discussing the program this morning, we determined not to get too graphic, just in the interests of, you know, so family listening wouldn't be too disturbed. But the fact is, the things that are being worked on Christians today they're nightmares. It's worse than any horror movie you ever saw. It's, if you can imagine in the deepest, darkest, depraved part of your mind, what you being, that's what's being done to Christians. The rape of Christian women in the Middle East, in order to produce Muslim children that's routine. It's ignored. Our news outlets don't even report this stuff. These things happen. In Indonesia, Christian villages are burned. You know,
churches are taken away and burned. The children are taken off and mm-hmm. are kidnapped or raped.
Missionaries are firebombed and assassinated. We don't hear about this. You know, they're just, it's not in CNN's, you know, interest to really report this. By golly, Christians don't make a very politically correct designated victim group. So,
Definitely so.
I had to work that in.
But there are a lot of great organizations. Obviously, pay attention to that. I had Voice of the Martyrs on this month.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And they would say probably the hottest spot, believe it or not, you may not think of it, but it's North Korea.
Yeah. Wow.
Though you're just done away with right away.
Well, I think there are 5,000 Christians in one prison alone right now North Korea.
And how many Christians are there in South Korea? Per capita, South mm-hmm. Korea is the most Christian country, and it was the same in the North,
mm-hmm.
but they've pretty much been eliminated.
And I know that their dictator, he has a desire to dominate both North and South Korea. I mean, that is his agenda, and is very desirous of that. And that is going to have incredible ramifications if something like that were to happen.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, when persecution happens like this, what appears to happen on the surface is that the church goes away. And to be honest, historically, that isn't actually what happens. I mean, who was the missionary guy that came out and talked at Trail a year or two ago? Richardson?
Yeah.
Don Richardson?
Don
Richardson told a great story about the fact that when the Chinese persecuted the Christians this century, they, you know, when they got nervous about the Christians meeting, they broke them all up and sent one to that province and one to that province and one to that province. Well, it's 100 million Christians in China right now, thanks to the far-seeing policies of the Chinese People's Government. We just want to thank them for their financial and logistical support in our evangelical efforts.
And that's happened, of course, time after time, even with Christians being in prison, where they go in
mm-hmm.
and they spend time in prison, and people say, "What are you in for?" And, I'm in for telling people about Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. What do you think about him? So there's been entire congregations that have been planted in overseas jails. So God has redeemed that, even though it is not, you know, I mean, it's obviously
absolutely
a horrible thing. God is continuing to work through that.
Like Uganda, where Idi Amin killed 500,000 Christians, and now that is one of the most powerful and dynamic Christian growth areas in Africa, if not the world. I mean, Africa is just exploding evangelically right now. I don't know, it's really interesting because it's another one of the myriad times when you have to look at a situation, and what your senses and your human reasoning tell you is hideous and awful is really, through God's eyes, accomplishing His will. And it's doing something, which brings us to a really interesting thing. You can't prepare for a program like this and read these accounts without really being touched in your heart and mind and confronted through the Spirit with the question, man, what would I do? Mm-hmm. How would I respond to this? Because it's the norm. Christians today, this is not the norm. What we're experiencing in America today is not the norm for Christians.
And, it's kind of an interesting thing looking at the quote-unquote free world and some of the movements that are going on, say, in Australia and in Europe, where pastors are increasingly having government encroachment on what can and cannot be said from their pulpits, especially with regards to the homosexuality issue, where they're being actually jostled about being faithful to scriptural teaching on a moral issue, and pastors are coming under a lot of pressure, and churches are coming under pressure, and one wonders if it's not really just a matter of time before we're going to find ourselves in a predicament, make a choice. Are we going to be faithful to the Lord? Are we going to be faithful to our, is our government going to become the Lord over us? We see that even happening to some extent now with the judiciary, and that mm-hmm. becoming a big issue in our country. And so one wonders how long before we even find ourselves in that particular situation.
Sooner or later, we're going to get to deal with this at one level or another. And Chris is right. The time to make that decision and consider it and think about it in your mind and heart, that time is now. You need to be aware that this is something the Lord may require of each and every one of us. And just, even if he doesn't, you need to be weighing your discipleship in light of what it could cost and what you would be willing to pay. Paul says, examine yourself. And not only that,
absolutely.
I think, what did he tell the Romans? For thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.
And he said that right after he said, nothing will separate us from the love of Christ.
Amen.
And we need to remember that. We always focus on that one verse, and yet there's the continuation of that story, is that we can expect that, and we can expect Christ's love for us to be there in that moment, but we are going to face tribulation as
mm-hmm.
believers. And one of the things I know Matt and I both want to talk to everybody about today is, what are you going to do about it? And being involved in some way. And one of the most significant ways, of course, as Christians, that I think we need to be involved is just in the area of awareness. Being aware ourselves and not forgetting that when one part of the body suffers, mm-hmm. the whole body suffers. And not losing touch of that the infringement and the loss of life and human rights of other Christians affects us very profoundly, affects the entire body of Christ, and making ourselves aware through newsletters such as Voice of the Martyrs, Open Doors, all these different things. There's all sorts, no shortage of information there, but also making sure that our churches as well are aware of what's going on in the world as far as persecuted Christians. I just came back, actually, from Cyprus for a submission conference out there, and we heard from some leaders in the Middle East, and one of the things that they said time and time again, as far as Christians in the West, they said, we need your prayers, yeah. But they also asked us to please continue to put pressure on our governments to uphold human rights in the Middle East, because when we do that, the very pressure that we put on the government in our country actually makes things better for Christians over there. And they said, please do not neglect that in addition to your prayers. And so that would be another area.
Yeah, just to inform oneself. I mean, check out the internet. I mean, subscribe to World Magazine or Touchstone. Get hip to what's going on. Don't let CNN tell you what's going on, because that's not reality.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you've been listening to Joe Stoll. He was talking. There was the President Moody Bible Institute. And one of the students there was in the field, actually a nurse in Lebanon, and she was shot point blank in the mm-hmm. face three times for helping little kids and ministering to them. But she's
that's pretty threatening, yeah.
Yeah. And so and he was talking about courage and the courage it took to be a Christian, certainly back in those days. And he had this great verse from writing, when he was in jail, he's writing the letter to the Philippians, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Holy Spirit, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. So,
amen.
The point of my life is to make Jesus big.
Mm-hmm.
And I could die or I could live. I hope I live. But I could die. But the point is, kind of the birth of courage right there. And, that was their expectation. You say all of them, all the apostles, but John probably, were in fact killed for their faith. It started with Nero. Probably both Peter and Paul were killed in that one. And then it's continued on. And I'm glad that you guys made us aware that, it is still going on. It's going
absolutely.
On
today. More today than even, it's less history and more present tense.
And picking up steam.
Okay. Well, Matt McAuliffe and Chris White, my guests today here on KDove, and we're going to have them back in another month to get another glimpse into church history. And
a more cheerful glimpse next time.
Yeah, what is it about?
Gregory the Great.
Gregory the Great. A good guy. You need to know about him. Well, I'll have to get some music in honor of Gregory the Great, won't I? Okay, thanks again, Matt and Chris. Stay with us. We have How to Manage Your Money coming up in just a moment.
Next time on Adventures...